that we're getting progressively closer to these mm-hmm. end times. So that you're seeing that erupt now. You're also seeing the grain prices go kind of squirrely. Things are getting very erratic. A part of that is because wormwood is messing with the environment. For example, just now this year, there is massive, horrible heat wave in Georgia, the Ukraine, and in Russia. And their grain production is way off. They're not getting hardly any rain. So their wheat harvest is just a disaster. They're having to import.
Now, do you think that has anything to do with weather modification, the HAARP project?
I don't think the HAARP project can do it quite like that. What the HAARP project...
Oh, I think they can.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, but for a different reason.
I really think our government's been controlling the weather worldwide for quite some time.
I don't think they have the control you think they have. They have some control on some things, at some level. Mostly what they can do, and where they have tremendous mm-hmm. power, is this ability to harmonize an electromagnetic spot, if you would, over a specific locale, and charge mm-hmm. up the atmosphere above that locale. This is what HAARP does, and they can mm-hmm. they can aim it, and they can tune it, and they can set the frequency and the intensity. Bill can explain that as an electrical engineer. He loves this
right.
sort of thing.
Right, and of course, and Nick Daggett explained it very well in his book, Angels Don't Play This HAARP.
That's correct. Yeah, I have that book here. I don't think I've gotten to that one yet.
Yes, but the fact that they're having a drought is by plan. It's by design.
I would disagree with you, but what the difference is what HAARP does versus what HAARP does not do. When you have these massive changes that wormwood is imposing on the planet because it is spinning mm-hmm. at 90 degrees to the ecliptic plane, like a giant saw blade, a table saw, if you would, and that EM field is rotating. And what happens mm-hmm. is it cuts up through the ecliptic plane with its EM field
okay.
at 90 degrees to the EM field in the rotation of the sun and its EM field. So you got two EM fields cutting at each other at 90 degrees.
Okay.
Now, in the world of magnetism, that's a formula for disaster. All right? So what happens is the EM field has a way of disrupting the weather patterns on a broadband basis over huge areas, much larger than what you can do with HAARP. HAARP is a little bit more localized. They can direct the energy to a spot and then charge up the atmosphere at that spot. But to have broadband, massive EM interference the way we've been having it and suffering it here on Earth, I don't
uh-huh.
think they have that capability yet. And the other
According to Nick Baggett, they have been able to really control the weather patterns, in other words, directing them and beefing up different conditions, creating heat waves, creating floods, creating
earthquakes,
hurricanes.
Hurricanes. You can start a hurricane. The interesting thing about hurricanes in this current configuration. It used to take days for a hurricane to build up its strength and to build up, real power.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is it turns out that the energy that creates and develops and builds the strength of hurricanes and tropical storms and such actually comes from space. It's a product of what we call the solar wind. And the solar wind gets more charged up and more magnetically interfered with when wormwood is in the neighborhood. You get all sorts of crosstalk between wormwood mm-hmm. and the sun because the magnetic
yeah.
field of the sun and the magnetic field of wormwood interact with each other, kind of against
mm-hmm.
each other, producing this rippling waving effect. It's a mess. It's really a mess.
Mm.
But wormwood cuts right along a center line that cuts right through the middle of the sun. And so they're talking to each other. And this interrupts and disrupts and modifies and plays games with the mag field and the discharge of particles coming from the sun. You can go from a solar minimum. We're going to head up now in from a solar minimum where there's almost nothing. That's going to turn into solar maximum with really big, sunspots and major CME disruptions and eruptions from the surface of the sun. And when those broadcast out and hit the Earth, they can make an awful mess. And there's way more energy, and I mean way more energy, in these CME events than what HARP or any of the other HARP types of projects can ever hope to generate. HARP doesn't have the energy, but the sun does. And now you've got Wormwood coming into the scene, throwing its mag field at 90 degrees, and these things just have a major, massive, solar sword fight, if you will. And you've got wave after wave of problems that generate because of the massive energy and these massive fields interacting. And that's what produces so much disruption. I would disagree that HARP or any of the others can cause this
it's
kind of...
It's powerful enough to do that.
It's powerful enough to do that. They have some energy.
Yeah.
They can put it over local areas. But, massive broadband, no.
I see your point.
They don't have that much power. Yeah.
They might have had more power until the Wormwood started coming through.
Yeah, Wormwood is the big player. HARP is the minor player. Yeah.
Right.
And I think there are several nations that have HARP-type installations. The United States is not the only one, so there's several of them. China has one. I think Russia has one. I don't know who else. There's several of them around.
All their leaders are as corrupt as ours, and I'm sure they all work together and party together over at the Bohemian Grove and
all that stuff. But the point is, when Wormwood enters the picture,
it's all a big game for these people.
Yeah, but when Wormwood enters the picture, you've got a massive, massive thing going on, okay? And it's a mess, because now you've got the heavyweights. First you have the mice running around screaming about what they're doing, the mouse that roared, well, I'm going to light my harp up at you, yippee-yippee. I'm going to light my harp up at you. And so they're harping at each other, and then in comes the 800-pound gorilla. Hi, guys. HARP doesn't have
analogy.
The energy. Right. HARP instruments and systems do not have the energy of the sun or Wormwood. And we're talking about the big heavyweights now that are going to bash. This is the bash, the clash of the titans. And what the mice do on planet Earth is one thing, but when the titans enter the fray, things get a little more interesting. So it's two different levels of playing.
The masters have always said to me, that they're the ones with the big God's got the big toys, and the boys down here are just playing silly in their little playground.
Well, yeah, we're playing with the Hot Wheels funny cars, and these guys are talking about the blown fuel dragsters. So it's two different levels of playing. Running around on a bicycle, pretending how great and how strong you are because you're pretty fast on your bike, especially downhill, that looks impressive, and then in comes somebody who's got, supercharged 450, Magnum V8 or something, and on your bike, you don't look so great. But the point is that, it's a different level of energy, it's a different level of interactivity, and we're talking about the ability to modify and change and cause ripples and waves and all sorts of problems between the sun and the rest of the planets, because it becomes disruptive. And that has an effect. And it's not just the Earth. I mean, there's global warming going on in Jupiter and Saturn and Mars. And people are kind of scratching their heads. They don't know what to do. It's one thing for us to have global warming. We can blame it on carbon dioxide, which is not true. But we can blame it on it and pretend it is true. Okay, but then how do we do that when it's some other planet and we don't know how in the world they're doing, because they don't have coal up there and they don't have electric power plants. So what are they doing? Anyway, the point is that the game is changing because the little sister, brown dwarf star, is coming back up through the solar system with all that EM field cutting action. And it's going to get very messy. And, you know, it's going to play out here on planet Earth. So then as these things start to play out, pardon me?
Mm-hmm. So as in your estimation, when is this going to start to play out?
It's already playing out. It already is playing out. And it's playing out in the order, exact order, that the Lord gave it to us with these heads up. So, okay, watch for these. And watch for them in this order. And that's when it gets really interesting, that he gave it to us in a specific order to watch for, and those things got progressively more specific. Now with Wormwood, at least we have, you know, the Wormwood science, as I've done the best I can to kind of conceptualize it. When the sixth seal erupts, now we have a set of events that it gives a specific set of events of things to look for, and it's very, very different, and I hate to say it, but it is very, very Wormwood. Number one, a great earthquake. When Wormwood hits us and gets us a good cut with one of those node rings that I describe on the website, when it hits, you've got this massive crosscut of two EM fields plus a gravitational sweep point. And basically the Sun and Wormwood are having a sword fight. Actually, they're like two giant circular sets of tube swords. It's like two table saws cutting at each other. And it gets messy. But a great earthquake is one of the things that happens. The best example of what would be like to have an earthquake like this was what happened in the island of Sumatra back in 2004 when we got hit by a node ring, and it hit hard. That's the one that triggered that big tsunami, December of 2004. Mm-hmm. You had 250,000 people died. Okay. Sumatra.
Now, where is that?
That was the big tsunami that killed so many people.
Oh, okay. That was a big Asian tsunami.
Right, the big Asian tsunami. Now, let's look
at
that.
Which our government created, by the way, because I met the guy.
No, it did not. No, it did not. No, it did not.
The guy?
No, it did not.
Okay. All right, I hear you.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
All right, can I just make a statement? Okay, I hear you disagree. But I want you to know that our government disarmed the Asian tsunami warning system 2 weeks before it hit. Call that coincidence? Go right ahead. And I know a lot more about it because he came to Stephen Greer's conference.
Right.
The point is
that when we get hit by one of these things, the EM fields are clashing and the Earth gets caught in a giant, pardon the pun, harp machine that just hits at some point in the tectonic plates and just shakes the living liver out of them. When the thing happened in Sumatra in December 2004, that earthquake started, it was a 9.0 Richter earthquake, and it rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled for 10 continuous minutes.
It was a bomb, actually, that was ignited. Underground.
Yeah, but for 10 minutes continuous. Sea. This is what's going to happen when it hits us the next time, okay?
Well, the guy that showed up at Stephen Greer's conference at Arizona State University worked in the Navy, and he was in the engine room. He was the one who pulled the levers, pushed the buttons, did the things. And he was ordered to disarm the Pacific Rim tsunami warning system 2 weeks before it happened, and he thought, this is bizarre. Why am I being ordered to disarm this? He thought it was just insane. And then he said he thinks he also ignited the bomb underground that created the, first of all, what they did was they shot down some kind of laser device. They ignited a timer on it, and then they had like 3 days to get out of the area, to get far away. And they were told to go full speed the opposite direction. And then
let's go on. So when the sixth seal erupts...
Are we at the end of our hour?